I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob.
I'm from Novi Sad, Serbia.
And I'm from New York. Alex and I started dating after meeting on a German cruise ship where we were entertainers.
And now we are in a long-distance relationship.
Until we can be together again, we decided to start a podcast.
We may come from different backgrounds, but that's exactly what keeps the conversation going for hours.
We can't wait for you to listen to this episode.
So sit back and enjoy.
Because we have a lot to talk about. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Today, we are joined by Maureen Corbett, a.k.a. Mo, one of my dearest friends.
Yay!
Hi, everyone. So excited to be here.
Today, we're going to be talking about gratitude, because if there's anybody in this world that I know who understands gratitude the best, it would be Mo Corbett.
Wow.
It's true.
I've come to start to accept that people associate gratitude with me, and at first I was like, whoa, that's like too much to hold, but now I embrace it, so thank you, and that's super cool.
So let's start at the very beginning. So as I just said, like, I know you, but who are you? Where are you from?
Yeah,
tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. Maureen Dacey Corbett, full name, born in a suburb of Boston called Billerica, Massachusetts. I was raised in an Irish Catholic family, third born of four, for those who like the order of siblings and all that. And for the purpose of this podcast, I am a Leo. I'm an August baby.
Must be mentioned. Don't worry, yeah. We've had a conversation before recording. Everything is fine. We are fine having a Leo in our presence.
And of course, in full Leo form, I think it elevates the podcast to have
a Leo
on. Yes,
yes.
So. Yeah, of course.
So I grew up in Billerica, mostly went to public schools, and then it's interesting growing up in Boston. It's a very aggressive culture. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a really competitive household, and a lot of sports was going on, and then, like, I really liked to sing from day one, and I think my parents were like, wait, we're a hockey family, like, what are we gonna do with this kid who doesn't stop singing? So that was always fun. I was always a little bit, I guess, out there in comparison to my wonderful sports-oriented siblings. Anyway, yeah, I went to college first in Florida and then transferred to Emerson College in Boston, which is where I met Rob, actually. And mm-hmm. we were in an a cappella group together. Now, don't close out of the podcast, because for some people that is like the biggest turnoff. They're like, oh, we've got two a cappella people on.
We were cool. We were in a cool a cappella group. I just need that to be known. Like, we were the cool guys. Like, cool guys on campus.
That's what we told ourselves.
Yeah, that's why what you believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess an important piece here is, like, I was so not practicing gratitude for majority of my life, and I at some point, I call it like my great darkness now. Man, I was in a deep dark place, and I was very angry. Like, I can remember being 18 years old and just feeling like I had a dark cloud that, like, followed me around wherever I went, and life was just awful. And I loved to dwell in that too. It was like my comfort zone. In hindsight now, I can say that. And it was interesting because people used to say to me, like, Mo, I think you're depressed. And I would get so mad. Like, I was like, I'm not depressed. And then I remember when I transferred to Emerson, it was like a community of people who embraced their depression. And it was like, who was more depressed, you know? And I was like, wait, this is okay. It's okay to, like, embrace your emotions.
Did you finally realize that you're, like, acknowledged, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I wonder when it really came to fruition. Definitely Noteworthy, which was the name of the acapella group, by the way. Like, if I didn't have that community to support me and love me no matter what, like, who knows how that would have went. But I remember, to bring it back to gratitude, which is the topic, I remember I was sitting on a beach in Wells, Maine, one summer. My family used to vacation there, and mm-hmm. I read this book. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the book The Secret. It's kind of like, I don't know, cheesy, I guess.
I haven't.
No.
All right. It's Rhonda Byrne or Byrne, and now I feel bad that I didn't like look up how to say this author's name correctly before this podcast. But if I took anything away from that whole book, it was this one line that she wrote: "Use gratitude until it becomes your way of life." And I remember being like, "Use gratitude? Like, what does that even mean? What do you mean? Like, you use a hammer to put in a nail? You use a pan to cook an egg? Like, what do you mean use gratitude? Like, how is it a tool? I didn't understand. So little by little, I think every day I started to write just down three things that I was grateful for, and it literally transformed my entire brain, like my mind. I slowly but surely was able to start to see light around me. Like, the dark cloud began to kind of clear, and I didn't fully understand it, and I'm sure that there was a lot going on in life, too, and, like, good friendships and getting out of your hometown, and I was studying something that I enjoyed, so it wasn't just the gratitude, but definitely was huge in transforming me. People who have known me for a long time, like, you know, I have hometown friends who, like, knew me in my dark years, and even some of my college friends, too, like, they can attest to who I am today and where I'm at in comparison to, like, when I used to, like, punch walls. And people who know me now are like, wait, you used to punch walls? And I'm like, yeah, like, I was seeping in anger. gosh, so I don't want to come on here and tell listeners, like, gratitude is going to solve all of your problems. Like, that is so not it, you know, in... I was talking to my roommate earlier this morning. I feel like, unfortunately, gratitude has become like the modern day live, laugh, love, where it's like, ooh, gratitude, like, then it sort of loses its, like, if you walk into someone's house and they have a live, laugh, love sign, like, leave or something, but, like, because that's how it's turned into, because people think if they just, like, slap a live, laugh, love sign up that their problems are going to go away or something, but... Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I guess hopefully in this conversation, what I aim to get across is that for me, you know, gratitude is not about like a jolly, always happy way of living. You know, it's about handling life in a more digestible way. It's about your brain automatically thinking of the goodness in shit situations rather than completely drowning in despair.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I guess let's go back to that time where you kind of first realized, oh, gratitude is something I can practice and it's actually kind of easy every day. So you were in college when that happened?
Yes, I was in college. I was probably going into my junior year of college, yeah.
Mm. So during your junior year, in general, knowing you, and why I really want people to hear about you and about your story is, it's not like you're the perfect person, right? You're still figuring your life out right now.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
But what's really cool is you've really practiced, like, gratitude has been such an important part of each step. And so going back to your junior year, is this when you decided to change your major?
Good question. Gosh, if there are any people listening that are going into their undergraduate, go easy on yourself. It's okay. Or if you're in it now. Sure. So I did transfer after my freshman year, and that was a change of major as well. Mm-hmm. But yes, I did change my major again after discovering gratitude. So it's always in communication, so... I went to a school called Lynn University in Boca Raton, Florida, my freshman year, and I was studying communications, you know, which is pretty broad, right? Mm-hmm. And then I transferred to, I said, oh, somebody should pay me to talk. Or at least it's a story I tell myself anyway. And I was like, I'll go into journalism. And so I transferred to Emerson, got in for journalism, and like wholeheartedly dived in, like eat, sleep, breathe journalism. And then I realized that the news is miserable, and I so appreciate it. Journalism is I you know, I have daily gratitude for journalism. Anyway, and people who choose to do that in their life, like, but it just wasn't for me. So then I around that time of starting to practice gratitude is really when I accepted it was okay, and I changed my major again, but this time to communication studies. After that.
Yeah. So during this time, practicing like what you're thankful for and getting up every day and moving on to the next thing, which was ended up being communication studies.
Yeah. And well, so before graduation, I just want to add in like huge, huge to my gratitude understanding and really coming to fruition for a practice was my senior year. I had a capstone class, and the professor for it also was my advisor at the time, Dr. Cook Jackson, who is like one of, gosh, I hold her to such high regard. I respect her so much. And she had us read this book, which I recommend to everyone, called Let Your Life Speak by Parker J. Palmer. And that was before the class. And after reading this book, we had to choose what we were going to do our projects on. I ended up asking her if I could do mine on gratitude. And I mean, it's a research project, right? Like I was spending a whole semester putting together like a huge presentation for this. And she let me do it because gratitude research in the last like 15, 20 years has really come to life, you know, prior to that, like there was nothing on it, but now there's neuroscientists looking into it. There's authors, there's researchers, there's all this stuff. So that was really when I like took a deep dive into what is gratitude? What are people saying about it? Who are the leads in this field? What are they saying? And I ran my own study of sorts where I like asked people to do a 21-day gratitude challenge, I called it. And it was the final capstone presentation. And I was like, so nervous. It's like the biggest presentation of your college career, I suppose. So I'd put in all this hours and time and weeks and months into this thing. And I was living in the north end of Boston at the time. And the night before the presentation, I was in my like, woe is me. I was going through a breakup. I was like at the laundromat and like feeling so sorry for myself. Like, I don't know what I'm doing after college. Like, what the heck is going on? All this stuff. And then my roommate calls me and she's like, beside herself, something exploded. Like, pretty much what happened in the bathroom is a water valve blew off the wall and was flooding our entire apartment.
Oh, I remember this.
Oh.
And like, I run home, and we lived on the second floor, and I open up the door, and already I can see water coming into the lobby of the building. And I'm like, I was gone for 15 minutes. Like, how is this happening right now? And we had just switched our landlord had just sold the building. I didn't even have the number of the new landlord. We needed to get the water shut off. Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I you know, and this is where, like, people really learn about themselves in moments of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Trauma?
Sure, trauma.
Tragedy.
Emergency,
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I like was like picking things up off the ground, like building like towel barriers to go into the room. And my roommate, Savannah, God, I love her. She just stood there holding our cat. Like, she couldn't even move. And I was like, you know, we call 911. Firefighters come. They have to break down the basement door. They shut off the electricity. They shut off the water. And I'm like, automatically started thinking of things I was grateful for.
Oh.
Like, out of nowhere. Like, I was like, wow, I'm so grateful Savannah was home so this wasn't as bad as it could. I'm so grateful that the damage wasn't worse than it was. I'm so, like, and it was involuntary. And it was funny because I had all of this planned out, like how I was going to start my presentation, but I just scrapped the whole thing and told that story to start off my capstone thing, because it was true. It was true to my experience of like, wow, now I'm really, really a different person now. Rather than being like, well, see, everything is just horrible and my life is the worst. So that was really a huge pivotal point for me. And I used to have more of like a rigid gratitude practice of like, you know, I'm going to write down something every day and things like that. And that's when I was really living in it. And I think that's important for when you're training your brain. But so that's just a story I wanted to share.
I get a question. Like, do you think that your, like, biggest, like, breakthrough or, like, in your practicing of gratitude came from that period of studying? I guess, I mean, do you think it's, like, that's the huge leap that happened because of the investigation that you were putting your time?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And I have such enormous respect, but also, like, appreciate Dr. Jackson for letting me do that, because
yeah, in the first place, yeah,
no one was doing their capstone project on gratitude. In fact, I remember when I had to give up and give my pitch, because you're what, like 21, 20 years old when you're a senior in college, and like I remember standing up in front of my peers and being like, all right, my pitch here today, kids, is that I'm gonna do my project on gratitude. And I just remember them looking at me like, oh, what, like what do you mean? And so there was a little bit of insecurity in that, of like, well, maybe this is dumb. But, you know, by just really diving in and staying true to myself and listening to my vocation, if you will, like I couldn't help but do the project on gratitude. And people still will message me from that class and be like, hey, I just want to let you know, you, when you present, people who I didn't even talk to, they're like, when you presented on that, it changed this for me, or like this and that. So, I mean, that's just a plug for like, do whatever you think you need to do, because yeah, like it can change you, but also like better the people around you and you don't even know. But yeah, so I would say for sure diving in. So Robert Emmons is like the leading researcher of gratitude. That's so like anyone listening who knows or has read anything about gratitude has read Robert Emmons. And I was like, wow, more people, we just, you know, I need to get more people all up in this. But you know, now Brené Brown talks about gratitude, like all these, gratitude is coming to fruition, and it's not new. Like if you look at ancient texts and people have this figured out already.
Yeah,
like this is not,
yeah, yeah,
this is, I'm not like groundbreaking material here, but I do feel like
our society just doesn't know it. That's like a weird...
Sure. Well, I think there's a discrepancy of like, well, I'm not Buddha or Lao Tzu, so like I can't, you know, do this. It's like we need to simplify it and bring it to like modern day terms, which is why I tried to give like my own little definition of gratitude earlier. Yeah, I hope, you know, and I think this is what you were getting at, Rob, is like I hope I can be a person that for people I can represent what it looks like to be a tangible representation of the practice of gratitude. Mm. Like a modern day, like here I am, just average 26-year-old chick popping around, figuring out her life. But like my foundation of gratitude is everything for me. And I'm not saying it's solving my problems, but it's at least like when everything's going wrong or everything's going right or none of it, I can fall back on that and depend on it. Mm. Which kind of leads me to, because I'm like, what are my current gratitude practices? Like
what I think is really interesting. So after college, so you had like this profound time in college where you were really practicing this, and then you move. Well, you have a job in Boston for a little bit, right? And then you move to LA / to live with your dad for a bit. During this time while you're with your dad outside of LA in Temecula, can you bring me through like that time of your life and what led you to re-inspire your love of God and religion and your spiritual life? Because I know in college I wouldn't say like you were the church going type.
No. In fact, like I used to go on walks around. So anyone who has been to Boston knows it's a walkable city, right? So like I would just walk around everywhere and like pop into churches because I really liked the feeling in there. But it would be like on a Wednesday afternoon. It was not like I was not waking up. I was waking up hungover on Sunday. Let me be clear about that. Like it was not, I wasn't going to church. Well, I mean, I suppose it's good to also add in like during that time in college, I was in a space with God where I was like, all right, God, you do you, I'm gonna do me. Like, I don't have a problem with you, but, like, I'm all set, you know? Like, I'll do my own thing. And And I also want to add for listeners, because sometimes the use of God can really turn people off. And I, if there's any pastors or like religious people listening, they may get upset that I say this, but I don't care. When I talk about God, it is for someone who's listening. Maybe for you, it's love. Maybe it's energy. Maybe it's karma. But you know, like, it doesn't have to, I call it God. I'm not here to limit what God is or tell you what that is. But for me, it's God. So I just want to put that out there. So yeah, I was like all set. So I moved to this town called Temecula after I worked like a cubicle job in Boston. I got an internship and I thought like, well, here we go. The rest of my life, like starting on this cubicle. And, that didn't work out. So I moved to, for people who don't know, Temecula is in Southern California. It is in between LA and San Diego. It's just more inland. And I lived outside of the city limits. I mean, I was like 30 minutes from the closest grocery store. It was like 10 minutes of dirt roads to get to my house, you know, like, well, what next? Like, what am I supposed to, like, I just moved to California. I have no job. I have no friends. I was like, what do I do? And so I looked for a non-denominational church and found one called Sunridge. Day one, like I woke up in the morning, I drove my 45 minutes into town. So I just had a really good experience and I had zero intentions. Now, by the end, I was, singing on the worship team. I was volunteering with the middle school youth group. I was, just super involved and entrenched and had a sense of community there that was huge for me. And there was this, small group, like this young adults group that met on Sundays, and it was just like, I don't know, probably 10 of us, 15 of us, and we sat in someone's backyard around a fire pit and like chatted about God, and I was blown away. I didn't know that this was an option. Like, I was like, what do you mean there's people who are like 20 something years old talking about God? And I wasn't coming in there like, yay, like I was like, here's all my issues that I have, here's my problems, here's my questions, here's where I disagree, here's like, this is what I have to say about that. And it was just like a safe space for that, for me to really unpack and get into the nitty-gritty. And it should be said that, like, I mentioned my great darkness earlier of, like, when I was 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I fell into like another darkness here, but I think that this ties into any sort of moment where you're really getting to know yourself and stripping back away. So whether that's like starting a gratitude practice or like really, really figuring out your faith, is there are parts of you that are so deep inside that you have like locked the door and like shut it off. And you're like, I'm not going back there. That is painful. I do not want to get into that. But, a part of doing your inner work is you have to get down there and like let the light into those areas. And so it was painful. Like, it was such a painful time. And my dad is not someone that like wants to discuss feelings ever. And so I didn't really have a person that I was like flushing these things out with in person anyway, but the church was a space for that. Like, there were people in that community who let me say my truth, you know, no matter how dark and dirty it was. And by going through that, that's when you can start to be like, I don't know. I guess sometimes you need to like really dig down to plant your feet on the ground so you can stand up again. I was just going through the motions. Like, I got that job after college. I was like checking the boxes of like what I thought I needed to do in this capitalistic society. And then I was like, I'm just going to pack my car and move across the country. But no matter how many times I've moved, which has been a lot, like, I somehow have forgotten that like your problems come with you.
Like, yeah.
You can't just like move and like,
that's why they say like, she has a baggage, or he has a baggage, whatever.
Anything, when you remove yourself from a place you're comfortable in, all of your, all of your darknesses are gonna, like, come in even harder. So that's when I started, I have, like, a gratitude journal, I guess. My mom gave me this beautiful journal with, like, a Maya Angelou quote on it, and I don't want to butcher it, but it's like, essentially, like, the best thing you can do is be in the present gratefully. Like be here now. Mm-hmm. And so I just started. I wrote, like, day one and then, like, journal about gratitude. But it didn't need to be, like, tomorrow is day two. Like, maybe I didn't come back for a month or something. Mm. And the next time I wrote was day two. So I still had that. So, like, even on my darkest days, I can look back and I'd be like, I'm grateful that I didn't burn my toast this morning because it was my last piece of bread and I was hungry and I live 30 minutes away from the grocery store. So, like, you know, like, whatever it was, it could be as simple as that. A lot of my gratitude practices are praying, thankfulness. And I was excited to get back into my so when you guys called, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to. So I cracked out, like, my old research. Like, I was like, I'm doing a podcast. Like, I'm so cool. And so, like, I reread that Let Your Life Speak book, the book that led me to then do the Capstone Project. I opened up Robert Emmons' work. I opened up gratitude books that I've bought but I never read. and then started to think, like, what are my gratitude practices? And I know that this is probably part of the conversation you want to have. Is it okay if I start to talk about gratitude practices?
Please.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was so my definitely, next question. Like,
yeah, definitely yeah. The journaling and the praying, but, like, other simple ones are, like, that I didn't even realize, because I guess I should add before this, like, a thought I had last night was, not everyone's gratitude is going to look the same. Like, gratitude practices that work for me are not going to work for you. So if you're tuning in and you're thinking, like, this girl's going to tell me exactly what I should do, it's not it. But what happened for me was, like, gratitude practices just automatically come up that I didn't even do on purpose. So for example, if I'm walking, when I was walking in the city, if I came to a crosswalk that already had the walk symbol up, out loud I would go, thank you, just to, like, the universe, you know, mm-hmm. or God or whatever, thank you, out loud. And then if it was a stop sign and I had to wait, I took that as, like, okay, I need to pause in wherever I'm going, and I'm supposed to pull myself back. Another one that I do, and people have heard me do this, is I go, happy, if I feel happy. So, like, sometimes it'll, maybe it's a meal, like, I'm sitting down and I'm eating food with people I love and, like, drinking a good glass of wine, like, I'll just out loud be like, happy. And people who know me don't question it because they're like, she's so weird, like, that's whatever. But other people are like, what, because they think I'm talking to them. And I was like, I feel happy right now, and so I just wanted to verbalize it. Because happiness is fleeting, by the way, like, and I think my happy practice is recognition for the fleeting of happiness. Like, it's never, those come and go.
Mm-hmm. It lasts as long as you saying it.
Yeah. And then I'm a big verbal acknowledger. Like, I'm a big, like, daily, like, oh, I am grateful for this. So that has just become that. But I do feel like I need to get back into an intentional practice. So, so there's some different ways you can do that. Now, if you're listening and you're like, I've never practiced gratitude, I've never thought of it in any other way, I highly recommend you start with a 21-day gratitude challenge. Just start there, because it's going to feel awkward. Like, it's so weird. Days 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're going to be like, this is so odd. But just, like, 21 days, wake up, write down 1 to 3 things you're thankful for. Maybe, like, a sentence or a couple about one thing, or just, like, the way that I did it was, like, 1, 2, 3, just plain. Mm. Or gratitude journaling, like, once or twice a week, sitting down for 10 or 15 minutes and writing about something you're grateful for, like, really going into detail about it, like, why you're grateful for it, the effects it has on your life. But if you're someone who's like, I've done that, you know, that doesn't work for me, because gratitude fatigue is real. Like, if you woke up every day, for some people it's like, yeah, I write a list every day and that works for me. For some, it's like, I'm just checking that off a list and this isn't good for me anymore. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of this. You got to switch it up. There are so many cool things you can do. Gratitude letters, like, write your mom a letter about how grateful you are for her, or, you know, I actually, you know, write letters to people maybe who have passed away that you're grateful for, and like mm-hmm. why you're grateful for them. And yeah, that's good. Gratitude art. I am not an artist, but like, I'm sure for some people that'd be cool, like some kind of art piece that represents what you're feeling grateful for. Yeah, and gratitude meditations. Like sometimes people really sit, some people are can really sit for a long period of time and meditate on something that they're grateful for. So those are just a few things, but get creative with it. Like if you're someone who's like, oh, I've done this and it doesn't, like this isn't working for me, like it's not the gratitude that's not working. It's like you need to, it's
your approach.
Yeah.
It's everyone is different. So
the way that you did it, like did you write every day like different things, or some things would repeat eventually, or how did you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am sure that there were things that were repeated, especially at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I found once I got going, maybe by like day 10 or 15, and this is what showed up in my own research too, like what people would report back, because mm-hmm. I had people do this and then uh-huh. like I had questions for them at the end. They found that around day 10, it was so much easier to just like list off anything, mm. you
yeah.
know? But it's totally okay to repeat. My recommendation, if you're going to write, like if you're going to wake up every day, Alex, and be like, I'm grateful for Rob. Like, why are you grateful for Rob? Like what in your life enhances due to this relationship? What mm-hmm. would your life look like without, like, or like, you know what I mean? Like get into it a little more deep. Rob's like, I like the sound of this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Don't pump her ego more than it has to
I will
be
say
pumped.
He is very good at verbalizing to me like thankfulness. That like I think that's something as a couple we're very good at doing to each other. Like I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful you're in my life. But it is nice, I think, you know, to like expand upon that for yourself. Like, why am I really grateful for this person? Why am I grateful for this life that I'm currently living?
So, so did you also write, like the thing that you were explaining, like maybe, grateful for that and that, and then a short explanation, did you also write that, or just like, as like notes, just things?
Both, Alex, because when I would write down sentences sometimes, but like, okay, so when I worked that cubicle job in Boston, I worked at a branding agency, and I was miserable there, but I was still under the guise of like, this is the rest of my life, I have to love this. And so I what I did every day when I left my cubicle is I put a sticky note on my desk and wrote 1, 2, 3. And so that way when I came in the next morning, the first thing that I did was just write 3 mm-hmm. things. No explanation, no details, just like, I mean, maybe sometimes, right? Like, oh,
yeah.
A fellow intern, Rachel, like Rachel brought me a cookie today or something, like whatever. But sometimes simple as that, like that has been huge for me. If I am in a space where I am uncomfortable, or like I am working a job I don't like it has become that I fall back on it. And in my go-to is usually a simple list,
mm-hmm.
like a simple 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. no details.
Yeah,
but for some people that's not gonna work. They'll get gratitude fatigue pretty easily that way. But
it will be just like a list and boring, and they don't think about it. Yeah, I'm asking because like I don't have a system. As I mean, and obviously did research, so I kind of do that throughout my life, I guess. And I it's kind of also I think similar to, I always tend to look positive sides of even the bad things, which I think that Rob can confirm. So
yes.
I think it's like not far from the gratitude system itself, but you obviously have a system. That's why I'm asking for like details, because I did also practice a little bit of like sometimes writing, even like maybe a month or two ago, something like that. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of like manifesting. Like the same sort of thing. Like you can think about all the gratitude that you have, you can think about all the positives, but if you're not writing it down, or you're not like actively doing something with that knowledge.
Yeah.
It kind of just, you know, as you said, you get the gratitude fatigue. It's like, if I'm just writing this down every day and there's no intention behind it, it becomes a habit and it becomes tiring to do. But if Absolutely. I think of the creative things that I can do with this knowledge, it becomes active and it becomes something that I, you know,
yeah.
or we.
Yeah. Brené Brown, beautiful, wonderful Brené Brown, writes about this in her book, The Gifts of Imperfections. And she is like, you know, attitude doesn't always equal, I don't know, she doesn't say action, but like an attitude for gratitude doesn't necessarily mean you're in it. Like, and her comparison in the book is to, like, she's like, I have a yoga attitude, but like when I show up on the yoga mat, just because I have a yoga mindset doesn't mean that that's like going to come out in my practice on the mat. Like there's a difference. There's a difference there if you're not physically writing it down, writing the letter, saying it out loud, making the art. Like, you can think it in your head, but that doesn't always come into, Robert Emmons talks about, like, to reduce gratitude to just something that's going to boost your mood is to do it such a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude requires action.
So with that, Mo, I want to thank you so much for being on our episode today. I feel like you've just created so many new tools for myself and Alex to work with, as well as I'm sure listeners. And I just want to one-on-one to you from me. Thank you so much. You've inspired me so much in my life. I was never somebody who thought about gratitude. And especially during this time, I so often was thinking about the things that you'd always say to me when we were in school together, you know, to think about what you're grateful for. So thank you so much.
Thank you both. I love what you're doing. This is like, what is it? Lemons out of making lemonade out of lemons, right? Like, you guys have to be so far apart, but what a way to really use your creativity. And this podcast is really awesome. And I am, to be as cheesy as I possibly can at the end here, really grateful that I got to be on this podcast. It has launched me back into reflecting on how I got here, what my current practices are, what are some new ones I can start. And so thanks for challenging me and for chatting.
Thanks for listening. As a reminder, we have new episode coming out every Monday. If you like what we have to talk about, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and review us, as well as give us a follow on Instagram at We Have A Lot To Talk About podcast. We really appreciate it. Until next time, ta-da!